All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, this is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Of course, I love things about heaven. And I want you to notice, if you would, we learned several things from this passage. You'll notice that this comes right on the heels of Paul making the statement. Look, if you would, in verse number 7 of chapter 4, he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the treasure of the gospel in earthen vessels. And then you notice in verse 8, he said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Then you'll notice in verse 8, we are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken. So he goes and lists the difficulties that he is having on the mission field and as he's taking his missionary tours. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 16, he says, for which cause we faint not. In other words, we're not going to faint because though our outward man perish, he was getting tighter and tighter. His body was being beaten. He had been stoned. I'm sure his body was not in that good a condition. So he said, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man, in verse 16, is renewed day by day. Now, that's a critical point that everyone in this room, we need to be refreshing and renewing our hearts every day. How do you do that? Well, you spend time in God's Word. You read the Scriptures. And as you're reading the Scriptures, you're marking in there, taking points that spoke to your heart. And then you're taking some time and talking with the Lord. Now, folks, tonight, when you pray, you can pray one of many ways. But you can pray and say, dear God and Lord way in heaven, or you can talk to him like your heavenly Father. You can speak to him face to face as a man would his friend. Now, we're not to be irreverent, but Lord, could I just talk to you for a minute? Could I just share my heart with you? I'm hurting on the inside. I'm disappointed about this. Lord, I want to do right in this area. Lord, would you forgive me for this? Lord, I want to be stronger here. You just talk with the Lord. Most people don't learn how to pray as though the Lord were their friend, as the Lord cared about you more than the world. If you picture someone that loves you more than all the stars of heaven, how is it that we picture he's a way off, distant, and is busy? He wants us to come before his throne as one would a friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the friend of sinners. We have to learn to pray in order to be renewed in our spirit. It ought to be that when you get up in the morning after you've poured your heart out to the Lord, that your spirit is a bit refreshed because you've been able to share with him the burdens of your heart. And you leave it at the cross and get up and go ahead and serve him because you know he's going to walk with you that day. You've told him you're sorry for your sin, so there's nothing between you and him. You're close. And then you unburden your heart to him and you get up off your knees and say, Lord, I've got to go to work now, but I trust that you would help me as I go. We need to learn to be renewed in our inward man. That's why he said in verse number 17, for our light affliction. You know what his light affliction he was talking about was? He got stoned. He got beat with rods. He got flogged with a cat of nine tails. And he said, but it's just a light affliction. Do you want to know why? Notice he said, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And he's looking toward heaven. He's not focusing upon the things of this life, the pain and suffering necessarily that he's going through. He's reminding himself of the joys of heaven. And so there's this refreshment of the inward man. Now, notice in chapter 5, verse 1, then he begins and he says, look, for we know. Now, look at verse 18. while we look not at the things which are seen. You know, what are things that are seen? Well, a job we've got, the house that we own, the cars that we have, the grass that we got to mow, the clothes that need washing. Notice, if you would, he says, but at the things which are not seen. In other words, our focus is upon the things of heaven. The focus is upon the things that are important to the Lord. Now, for us to do our job well is important to the Lord. The right spirit, an excellent spirit, a great work ethic. So we do what we do for the Lord's sake. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. But notice, if you would, he says in the middle of verse 18, for the things which are seen are temporal. You're not going to take anything with you. It's temporal. All the things that you and I see, this pulpit, these pews, everything that you have, your clothes, they're temporal. But you notice he says, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What things are like that? You're pouring your heart out to the Lord. Your trust in the Lord. Your love for Christ. Your love for people. Your burden for people. Those are things that are eternal in heaven. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 1, he says, for we know that if our earthly house. Now what is he talking about? If this body, that's what he's talking about, earthly house. Notice he says, of this tabernacle were dissolved. And the word dissolved is kataluo. It is to loose down. In other words, it's just let it fall apart. In other words, if you are destroyed, if your body is broken and you die, that's what he's saying. He said, for we know that if our earthly house, our physical body of this tabernacle were dissolved, it goes back to dust. He says, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He said, you and I know. Now notice the wording, for we know. Why? Because we've been thinking about eternal things of chapter 4, verse 18. Our eyes are on eternal things. And he said, because our eyes are on eternal things, we know there's a God in heaven that loves us. He said, we know that this body, when it's gone, we have another body in heaven. Now, notice in the outline, if you would, Roman number 1, we're going to have things infinitely better after death. Now, this is what he's speaking about in chapter 5. He's talking about eternal things. And notice, if you would, A, Paul informed all Christians that God himself, made without hands, that's what it means, is preparing us a new body. So everybody in this room, God is preparing a body for you and a celestial body. And notice, if you would, he says in verse 1, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands. God speaks it into existence, eternal in the heavens. Now, I want you to notice, we're going to look, if you would, see in the outline that in another passage in a minute. But notice B, Paul groaned. Now, look with me, if you would, he says in verse number 2, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. So he said, look, the word groan is literally distress between two narrow places. He said, so I'm really struggling, I'm pressured, I'm stressed because there's these two things. And one of them is, notice if you would, earnestly desiring. Now put that in abbreviation here in the parentheses. Greek, the word here is to yearn greatly. It's literally, it is an intense craving. He says, I have this intense craving to be clothed upon with our house, my heavenly body, which is from heaven. Notice verse 3. And if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. So when we get to heaven, we're going to get a new body. One of my great joys when Susan went to heaven is I knew that she was going to get a body that wasn't ravaged by the diabetes she had had for 50 years. Everything was going to be brand new. And she was not going to have any more pain or difficulty. So it gave me great comfort, hope, this passage. For we know that our Heavenly Father without hands has prepared a body for us. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, see in the outline, we ought also to look forward to being clothed with a new body eternally. Now I want you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I want to take a look at this new body. Look with me if you would. Verse 40. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is other, as another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. But notice verse 42. Because there are celestial bodies and earthly bodies, notice what he says in verse 42. For so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. Our bodies are placed in the ground. It's corrupt. The body dissolves. It goes back to dust. Verse 42, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. So when we're raised from the dead, we get a new body. Now I want you to notice something. Verse 44, it is sown a natural body. It is sown your body, my body. It is raised a spiritual body. We get a brand new body, one made without hands. And notice he said in verse 44, there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So if you'll notice in verse 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, so our earthly body was in the image of God. He said, so also we also shall bear the image of the heavenly. So when we get to heaven, our new body will resemble and have that image of Christ and his new body. Now, I don't know how God is put it all together, but when we get there, we're going to be able to recognize each other. We'll know even as we're known. I don't know how old we'll be. I would imagine we're going to be pretty close to the age of Christ when he went to heaven. That's about the age of our prime of life. In other words, the physical body will be of that maturity, you might say. But everybody's going to get a brand new body. That's what he's saying here. Now notice back over in 2 Corinthians, he says in verse number 4, he says, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan being burdened. We're burdened with this life. We're in that narrow spot where, you know, we hurt, you take an Advil, you how many of you got trouble with pollen and all the allergies right now? Let me see your hands. I see people grabbing handkerchiefs and sneezing and coughing. And you know, that's allergy season. The new body doesn't have any of that. There's no Tylenol in heaven. Thank the Lord. There's no aspirin in heaven. There's no pain medication in heaven. No reason. The new body is perfect. It's made without hands. God speaks it into existence. But every one of us are going to recognize each other as we're known. I don't know how the Lord does that. But there are people that you're going to recognize. Some people maybe they're because they were without an arm or they were born without a hand, and you recognize them that way, or maybe there was some deformity. They're going to be made perfect in heaven, and you're still going to recognize them. So God has the ability to do that. I don't know how he does it, but we'll know even as we're known in 1 Corinthians, it says. Now, notice with me, if you would, in the outline, B, we groan and wanted to be, yearn greatly and wanted to be there right now and not later. So our desire was between two straits. I want to be here to do the right thing, to be a blessing, because when I step foot inside heaven, I can never witness to another person. I can never share the gospel with another person. But I really want to be in heaven with my new body because everything is perfect. And I'll be able to be with the Lord forever. And the one thing it's going to be, I'm going to look forward to heaven more than anything else, not any person, but the greatest part about heaven is there's no more curse. There's no more temptation to get angry. There's no more temptation to pay back. There's no more temptation to get hurt, or there's no more temptation. The curse of sin is gone. You don't have to fight your thoughts anymore to do what's right. You don't have to work at having an excellent spirit every moment of your life. It comes natural. It comes with a new body. Now, notice if you would, in the outline, we also ought to look forward to being clothed with a new body eternally. So this distress that we're suffering, or as he puts it, this groaning, is between I really would rather be in heaven, but I have this need to be on earth. Paul said it best. Turn in your Bible to Philippians. I want you to see this. Philippians 1. Notice with me if you would. Philippians 1. Look in verse 21. Great verse. Philippians 1, 21. For me to live is Christ. So the joy of living is I get to serve the Lord. I get to renew every day and spend time with him. But to die, well, that's gain. So therein is his battle. Now notice in verse 23. For I am in a strait. There's the word groan. Another word for it. I'm in a strait betwixt two. I'm between a rock and a hard place. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You know, I hope all of you in this room have things to do in this life. I hope you have a purpose in this life that you want to stay here for. But I also hope that you love Jesus Christ enough and the joys of heaven that you say, but I'd really rather be in heaven. Now, the solution for that is all of us pray for the rapture. That's the solution. The other solution is death. But you lose the ability to ever share the gospel with somebody, to ever pass out another tract. You lose the ability to brag on Christ. Now, we're going to praise him, but not to sinners in heaven. So that's why Paul said, I'm in a strait between two. I really want to help you. I want to help you grow in Christ. I want to help more Corinthians trust Christ, but I really want to be in heaven. So he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I hope you are in the same strait. I hope you have such a yearning for heaven and such a delight that heaven is around the corner that to live is Christ. But to die, well, that'd be gain. And not just in the fact of it, that I won't have any more pain, I get a new body, but the idea is that I'll be with Christ forever, and I'll be able to enjoy the joys of heaven, and that would be great, but I've got things to do here. Lord, just give me a little bit more time to try to win my neighbor to Christ. Lord, give me a little bit more time to try to teach my children to do the right thing. Lord, give me a little bit more time to pray with my wife or my husband, Lord, so that we can walk a little bit closer to you. You see, everybody in this room ought to have a purpose in this life, that you need to remain here. But you ought to be torn because you want to be with Christ, which is far better. Notice, if you would, in this passage, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5, he says this. In verse number 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, in other words, that we would be dead, but clothed upon, that we could have this new body. He said, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. He said, I've got a burden because I've got things in this life to do, but I'd love to have a new body. I'd love to have the joys of heaven. But you'll notice in verse 5, he says, now he that hath wrought us, for the self-same thing is God, the one that made us. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want you to realize something. I know we've heard this, but I don't know that we really realize it. Verse number 19. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. What? Now, he's speaking to the Corinthians, same group of people. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. So lest any of you think that, well, you know, I want to color my hair and I want to do this or I want to do that, better back up just a minute and say, Lord, what do you want me to do with your body? Well, I want to do this or I want to do that. Well, I'm going to go try this activity and, you know, it may be dangerous, but Lord, is that what you want me to do with this, your body? Remember, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. This body is on loan to you. And he lets us have it, but it's been purchased. Now notice, if you would, verse number 20. For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So he said, look, I want you to glorify the Lord in your body, the way you dress it, the way you take care of it, but also in your spirit. I want you to glorify the Lord in your excellent spirit. My favorite Bible character is Daniel. And the reason being is because there's nothing negative ever said about Daniel. I want to be like Daniel. Daniel was with three different kings, and every one of those kings, he rose to the top. He had great respect of all of them because this spirit that he had was indomitable. They couldn't get him down. They could rename him with a false god, but he still served his. They could throw him in the lion's den, but he still was going to pray. They could not break his spirit because he was renewed every day, Daniel chapter 6. And that excellent spirit caused the king to say, there's just something about him. I want to place him in a position of great respect and authority because he's just always got this great spirit about him. Right here he says, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and your spirit. Did you know your attitude is not your own? Now that's news. How many ever got out of bed and, you know, just said, not having a good morning, and we just a little bit sour, and we decided, you know, I have the right to be sour this morning. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I just got out on the wrong side of the bed, and that's okay. I mean, my life, I deserve to be a little bit upset. Did you know your spirit is not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify your God in your body. We always hear that, but we leave out, and in your spirit, which are God's. So the next time you want to get angry at somebody and bitter about somebody, you don't have the right. Your spirit is not yours. When you want to mistreat your body is not yours. You and I have to learn that God has given us this body that we might serve him with. It is a tool. And he said, I know it's going to break down and dissolve one of these days. And when it does, I got a new one for you. One that never gets old. One that never hurts. One that is incorruptible. Now, notice a few things about this. I love this part. Notice D in the outline. God gave us his spirit as a down payment or proof of his promise to give us eternal life with a new body. Look with me, if you would, in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 5. He says, now he that wrought us the selfsame thing as God, who has also given unto us the earnest of the spirit. In other words, the down payment of the spirit. So he put the Spirit of God in our heart. And if you remember correctly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, you know, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. And he also said that God's put his Spirit in our hearts. So you and I listen to the Holy Spirit, and he guides us how to use his body. Take your Bible and turn to Ephesians. I put it in the notes. Ephesians chapter 1. Notice this passage. Verse 13. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. you trusted Christ after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And that's why missions is so important, that we can get the gospel out. It's that good news that helps us to be saved. Well, if people haven't heard the good news, shouldn't we get it to them? That's why we sacrifice and give to Faith Promise. But it's also why we sacrifice and present ourselves a living sacrifice to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm yours. I'll go if you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. We do both. So you'll notice he says, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed in that salvation, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Now watch this, the down payment on your inheritance. You know one of the things about your inheritance? You know what one of the things is? A new body. You get a brand new body when you get to heaven. You're going to inherit a new body, one that God has prepared for you. It's laid up as treasure for you. And he said, I've got that laid up for you. And so the proof of that is I'm going to give you a down payment, and that's going to be the Holy Spirit in your heart. So the next time whenever you and I think about I'm going to do something wrong, that Holy Spirit begins to touch your heart and says, I wouldn't do that, or you ought to do this. Remember, that's the proof of God's promise that he's got a new body for you around the corner. Remember, that's the proof that he's got an inheritance laid up in heaven for you. And notice what he would in verse 14. He says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. What is the purchased possession? What did 1 Corinthians chapter 6 say? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. Your purchased possession is your body and your spirit. They're both his. So you and I can't take our bodies and do what we want to with them, nor can we take our spirit and do what we want to with that either. We're to always be in the image of Christ. Notice, if you would, in the outline, you'll notice God gave us his spirit as a down payment or proof of his promise. God knows us that we don't have a lot of faith sometimes. And so he said, I'm going to give you proof that I'm coming back to give to you. I'm going to give you the spirit of God in your heart, and you can sense him every day and talk with him every day. And he can guide your steps every day so that you have proof that I'm coming back to get you. Now notice verse 14 of Ephesians, until the redemption of the purchased possession, which is your body and your spirit, unto the praise of his glory. So one of these days he's going to come back and get us and take us to heaven. It's going to be one of two ways. It's going to be in death, and we're going to die and get a brand new body, just like that. Now I'm going to show that to you in a minute. But we're also, if he comes back in the rapture, now I'm praying for the rapture. I like that option a lot better. I'd much rather have the rapture come, and that way we can all go up together. That would be a great joy. But notice, if you would, now take your Bible and turn back over to 2 Corinthians, verse 5, and notice this. Now 2 Corinthians 5, look, if you would, in verse 5. He's given us this earnest of the Spirit in verse 5. Now notice verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident. Now he says, we are always confident. Are you always confident? There's very few things we're always confident about. One of them, death is sure. Two of them, taxes are sure. Three of them, the Lord's going to come get us and take us home. One way or the other. Now notice, if you would, he says this, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord physically. Now notice in the outline, E, we can be sure and confident all the time as we walk in this life that heaven awaits us. We can be sure of that. He said, I want you to know that. Heaven's around the corner. This is a heaven's passage. Notice F, when we are present in this body, we are currently absent physically from the Lord. That's where our faith comes in, that we see our sight becomes by faith and not by sight. And that's where we grow in Christ. We learn to trust him. Notice, if you would, G, our faith in his promise is the way we are to walk in this life. So notice verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. That's the way he wants us to learn to grow in him. Learn to walk by faith. But you have proof and you're supposed to know it. Now let's go back in verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And notice there's a colon there. In other words, the thought's not complete. Now let's jump to verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So what is the time period between death and presence of the Lord? It's instant. Instantaneous. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. In the body, absent from the Lord physically. But absent from the body, present with the Lord physically. That's what he's trying to get us. And he says, you can know that. That's why he said twice, verse 6, therefore we're always confident knowing that. If we're absent from the Lord, we're in this body, we're absent from the Lord. But verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So our desire is to be with the Lord. But the needs have us here. How many of you, there are some needs in this life for you to be here? Raise your hand. I mean, you got there are reasons you're here. How many of you have children? There are some reasons. You're married. You have a wife. She's a good reason. Or you're married and you have a husband. That's a good reason for you to be here. You have a church home. That's a good reason to be here. You have neighbors that are lost. That's a good reason to be here. You have family members that you're praying for. That's a good reason to be here. Now, it's not a good reason. Notice all the things we listed, all of them were eternal. What's not a good reason? My job. That's not a good reason. My car. What happened to my car? What happened to my house? Sticks and bricks. You don't take anything with you. That's the reason why you can go through the nicest neighborhood on earth. It's going to be dissolved one day, like that. From the poorest to the greatest. So invest your life in that which is eternal. In your husband, in your wife, in your family, your church family, your children. Things that are eternal. That's the reason he says, don't put your eyes on things that are temporal. Put them on things that are heavenly. Now notice, if you would, in the outline, H, when we take our last breath and are absent from this body immediately, simultaneously, we are present with the Lord. We travel instantly. We can and need to be confident of this according to his promise. So you and I, that's the reason why it's important that you and I witness to somebody, because if Scott Foster, who passed away yesterday, were not saved, it would have been so important that somebody witnessed to him before that day. And that's the reason he says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day bring forth. No one knows. We're not promised tomorrow. It could happen at any moment in time. That's the reason you and I are supposed to do what we're supposed to do today, and not put it off till tomorrow. Don't say, well, I'm going to go pass out a tract tomorrow. I'm going to go witness that person tomorrow. Or, I'm going to pray for them tomorrow. Do eternally what you can do today. Don't put it off. Because there will be a day when you say, I'm going to tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes. Either by death or by the rapture. Now, notice with me, if you would, in the outline quickly. Notice this. Roman numeral 2, we labor, and the word, notice labor here in verse number 9, and we're just going to look at 9 and 10, we're stopping. Notice verse 9, wherefore we labor, we work, we serve, but notice the way it is in verse Roman numeral 2, we labor, it's a Greek word, tomao, it is to love honor. In other words, we love the honor the Lord gives to us. We want to hear him say, well done. We love his honor. We labor because we love his respect and praise. Now, notice A, we are using this body he gave us until we get our new one. Okay, but notice B, we have a home in heaven, but we should want his acceptance and approval while living on earth. C, we labor because we love his approval. So let's look at verse 9. Wherefore we labor that whether present in this life, we have needs and purposes. You're to serve your husband. You're to serve your wife. You're to serve your children. Take care of your children, your family, neighbors. Wherefore we labor. We work at trying. We love the idea of hearing the Lord say, I'm proud of you. Well done. That whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Whether present in this life, we're accepted of him, or absent from this life and present with him, we're still accepted with him. So we want to labor. Now remember, if you have your Bible, let me tell you why that's important. Take your Bible and turn to 1 John chapter 2. Back of your Bible, 1 John chapter 2. Remember the passage, we're to labor in this life and the next life. In other words, our goal is to be accepted here and when we see the Lord. Notice verse 28, 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him. In other words, remain in him. Remain working for him to please him. That when he shall appear, we may have confidence. There's the same word as in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And not be ashamed before him at his coming. The word ashamed here is the word for disfigured. It's for someone that's permanently embarrassed. Now, we're going to be embarrassed when we see the Lord and realize we didn't do what we should have. We used his body the wrong way. We used his spirit the wrong way for our benefit. He said, look, we need to learn that we're not our own. We're bought with a price, and there's an inheritance laid up in heaven. It's a brand new body. We won't hurt again, but I've gone to prepare a place for you where I am. There you may be also in my Father's house of many mansions. We're going to have a mansion in heaven. We're going to have a new body in heaven, a new spirit in heaven. Everything is brand new. And when we get to heaven, we don't want to see him and be ashamed. Now, he's never going to say a word negative to us because our sin was washed away at the cross. But now, quickly, turn with me if you would. D in the outline. Let's go back to the outline. We Christians will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, turn back to 2 Corinthians 5 and notice verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. In other words, you'll receive the rewards for that which you did in your body, in the body that God has given to you. He's on loan to you. According to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, we know that God's not going to look at us and say and chide us for what we should have done, but he's going to take our life and the book with our life's words and thoughts and deeds written in it, put it into the fire in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and everything that is gold and silver and precious stone that was done to be accepted by Christ is going to last the fire. It could be a kind word that you gave because you're trying to be a blessing for Christ. That never loses its reward. The Lord even said, if you give a cold cup of water in Jesus' name, that doesn't lose its reward. So you're standing in line. Someone is thirsty. There's 4 or 5 in a line. You say, you take my place. Get you a drink first. That doesn't lose its reward. It's representative of Jesus Christ. So even the smallest of things is written down in heaven and receive a reward. But there are going to be some people, they were selfish and they had the wrong spirit because they could. And the Bible says, look to yourselves that we lose not that which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. 2 John 8. I'll put it down here. Notice, if you would, D in the outline. We Christians will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. One, we will receive the rewards of a job well done. But notice, two, we could receive the loss of a lifetime of labor if it was not lived for his approval. E, we must learn to live to please Christ. That motive changes everything we do, from fleshly activities to spiritual ones. You can take somebody a cake that you made because you felt obligated, like you ought to do it, and here's your cake. I wanted to fix something for you, but you were sort of forced in your spirit. Or your husband said, look, I want you to do something for a neighbor, and you didn't want to do it. There's no reward in that, even though you did it. It's burned up. So the way you do things can be, you can sing in the choir and receive no reward for it. How is your spirit? You can be an usher and receive no reward for it. How is your spirit? How is your motivation? You see, we do things, we labor for the love of Christ, to be honored of him, for him to say, well done, son, I'm proud of you. That's why everybody in this room should labor. That's why you should come to church. That's why you love your wife. That's why you love your husband, to please Christ. It's right. That's why you love your children. That's why you correct your children, because you love Christ. It's why you guard your tongue and you guard your spirit, because you love Christ. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. I don't want to see Christ and have to put my head down. I want to see Christ and say, I did my best for you, Lord. And I want that for you. Now, I can't make anybody in this room do the right thing. I can't make you love your wife or your husband. I can't make you go to work with an excellent spirit. I can't make you come to church. I can't make you give to Faith Promise. I can't make you pray for the missionaries. But I can tell you that God wants you to labor whether he's here physically or not, that you would hear him say, Sarah, I'm proud of you. Greg, I'm proud of you. Patrick, well done. And so we labor in our heart, laying our head down on a pillow, knowing I did my best today. Can you say that today? Folks, that's why when you come up against a hard time, when you're rocking a hard place, you hear bad news. It's one of the reasons I love Susan so much, is because she always seemed to have an excellent spirit no matter the news. I don't know how she did that, but I want to be like that. That no matter what the news, I always have a sweet spirit, an excellent spirit, because the spirit is not mine. It's the Lord's. Tonight, are you laboring to hear his approval? Let's bow our heads for a prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to play just a verse of invitation hymn. If you need to come tonight, just talk with the Lord for a minute. Lord, I just want to tell you, I'm sorry for my spirit today or last week. You come. Lord, I'm sorry for my spirit toward my wife or my husband or toward my boss or toward my neighbor. Things that are eternal. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. Hear our prayers, Father. We need you. We can pray to no one else, because no one else has eyes to see and ears to hear, and the right hand of power to do. In your name we pray. Amen.